Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears along with you here Tuesday, October the 6th, 2020, 14, coming up on 15 minutes past the hour, and we've got a very important hour for you here this morning. Now, I do want to remind you again, we thank the amazing Kreskin, a dear friend of ours, for being on the program in hour number one, and today, October the 6th at 3:33 p.m. Eastern Time, all you have to do, 3:33 p.m. today, Eastern Time, pull over, stop what you're doing, and for 3 minutes, think about who you're going to vote for on November the 3rd. You don't have to say it out loud, just who you're going to vote for president. Think about it for 3 minutes, and then the amazing Kreskin is going to take that prediction, put it in an envelope, send it here to WWGH. It will be hermetically sealed in a mayonnaise jar on through the election, and then when we finally know who the winner is, who the next president will be, we will have the amazing Kreskin back on the air, and we will open that letter live on the air and see if he was right. But you gotta do it right today. 3:33 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 minutes. Just think about who's going to win the election on November the 3rd. And if you're in the West Coast listening to this anywhere else in the world, figure out the time. If you're out in California, it would be 6:33. Or no, wait, it would be 12:33. 3 hours behind. But speaking of 3 hours behind, we're going to go to a gentleman who right now got up very early for us this morning, just after 6 o'clock where he is. But boy, we could not appreciate it more, because there's a very serious thing going on during this pandemic. As many of you know, the President of the United States, Donald Trump, on Thursday night, I guess we found out, had contracted, along with the First Lady, COVID-19, the pandemic we're under. Now, we have learned a lot of information since we had Dr. Yulin on Friday, that the president was administered oxygen, that he was given an experimental drug, that he was obviously taken to the hospital Friday at this time. We did not know that was going to happen, and now he's been released from the hospital. Now, there's a lot of confusion here because of a lot of things that have went on. Videos released from the hospital by the president, things that have been said in tweets by the president, such as "don't be afraid of it," referring to COVID-19. And last night when he returned to the White House, we all saw the video, him getting out of the chopper, going up to the White House and taking the mask off, when we know, I think at this point, that this is highly contagious. And the doctors say they're going to be monitoring him through next Monday. So a lot to unpack there, because everybody's confused this morning. Newspapers, television, radio, we're all confused. Nobody better to figure this all out with than best-selling author, medical correspondent on the Today Show for so many years, and a dear friend of this program, Dr. Art Yulin. Dr. Yulin, good morning.
Good morning, Scott. Can you hear me?
I can hear you perfectly.
Coming all the way from California at 6:18 in the morning. You have no mercy.
I don't, Dr. Yulin, but I'll tell you what a weekend it was.
Crazy.
Well, you know, strictly from a medical perspective, just without the comments that the president has made, and even without what his doctors have said, just on the fact of stuff we know now, that he was administered oxygen, that he got this experimental treatment, that he's released from the hospital 3 days later. What does all this say to you?
Well, it says a few things, and I think the most important thing that I might say in order to help make some sense of this, because it does make sense to me as a physician, is to remember that the president is the president, and we are not. And what that means is that the president can get certain kinds of treatments, may get certain kinds of treatments that either make good sense or don't, that none of us would have access to. So let me explain. We know that the president was sicker than we were initially told, and he was flown to the hospital for that. And we know that he was, although we were told he was well, we know that he was put on a drug called remdesivir. You and I cannot get that drug because remdesivir is in a clinical trial right now. And it's had quite a bit of study, and it is an antiviral agent. It is meant to attack the virus itself. And so it would be quite rational, actually, to give someone remdesivir, but it hasn't gone through the full testing process, which is why you and I can't get it. What is the full testing process? What's the purpose of that? Not just to prove that it works. And remdesivir appears to work a little bit, in that the tests thus far have shown that people tend to get out of the hospital more quickly. It shortens the recovery period by a few days. It's not dramatic. It's not stunning. You don't get remdesivir and then, you know, 30 minutes later you're feeling well. But with daily infusions of it, it does appear to have some effect. So the president, the president's doctors, I am sure, said to him, we have an antiviral agent. It has shown some definite activity against this virus. We have not tested it on 100,000 people, so we cannot tell you if there are some risks out there that we don't know about yet. But if you are the president and if you wanted to take this drug, I think we can get the FDA to approve an exception to the regular trial procedure. And if I were the president, I would say, hey, yeah, give me some remdesivir. All right? I mean, hey, doc, do you think there are any terrible risks? No, not really. Give me the remdesivir. We also know that the president has received treatment with monoclonal antibodies. And, you know, the first question is, well, what the heck are monoclonal antibodies? Well, those are artificial antibodies, molecules. They're produced in a laboratory. When you get an infection, your body produces natural antibodies. And antibodies fight the infection. They actually fight the virus or the bacterium that has infected your body, and they help restore you to health. Well, science has come to the point now where they are actually able to duplicate these antibodies in a laboratory, to literally construct these substitute antibodies. So, I am sure that the president's doctors went to him and said, hey, President, Mr. President, we've got another one. And it's antibodies, and you know that antibodies can help protect you against infection. And these are not approved for public use because they have not been tested widely. But based on the little bit of testing we've done, we think they might protect you. And they said, well, hey, doc, what's the risk? Well, Mr. President, we can't honestly answer that question because there are so few people this has been tested on, but we think at least there's a scientific rationale for giving it to you. Do you want it or not? And if I were the president and I had coronavirus, even if I weren't the president and I had coronavirus, I, Art Ealing, would probably say, let me try that. You know, I'm 84 years old. He's only 74. And I know this virus can kill me. So, yeah, I'm willing to take that small risk. And then the third drug they have given him is a drug called dexamethasone. It's a steroid drug. We used to call these cortisone-like drugs. And what we know it does is It reduces inflammation in the body, and it suppresses the immune response. And you would say, hey, I don't want to suppress my immune response. What are you talking about? And the doctor would say, yeah, but this infection is different. When you get coronavirus, there is a risk. We don't know why this happens, but there is a risk in some people that the immune system in some people just goes crazy. It overreacts, and it literally destroys the body instead of protecting the body. If I were the president, I would say, yeah, but I've heard that that's only for people who are seriously ill, and that the NIH protocol says you can only give it to someone who's in the ICU and on a respirator. And the doctor would say, yeah, you're right, but you're the president. And maybe we should take, be really cautious and suppress your immune system now. And the president would say, well, what's the risk? Well, we got to be honest. The risk is that your body could be overwhelmed by infection. That's probably not likely. And what's the benefit? Well, the benefit, Mr. President, is that we won't have to worry as much about your immune system going crazy, making you sick and killing you 7 to 10 days later. And if they asked Art Uhlin, would you like that? Art Uhlin would probably say, yeah, I'll take that risk. Go ahead and give it to me. So we've got a president who had an infection that could kill a lot of us, who has received treatments that none of us would be allowed to get, and he got better. And let's hope he stays better, because this thing can come back at 7 to 10 days. He got better, and he said, I'm out of here. There's nothing to fear. Actually, what he said, exactly his precise words were, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. That's what he said. Now, that's, in non-medical terms, crazy. COVID has killed more than 210,000 Americans. It has infected more than 6 million. It will kill 700 people today and 700 more tomorrow. And if the estimates are correct, it will have killed 300,000 people by the end of the year. So I say, do not listen to the president anymore. He got treatment that you can't get. This is a dangerous infection. I would be at enormous risk of death. I'm 84 years old, and my chance of hospitalization if I get infected is 5 times that of a 20-year-old. And the likelihood, if I am hospitalized and put on a respirator, that I will survive is 20%. So admire the scientists who got the president the treatment he got, but recognize that you don't have access to that treatment. None of us does. Not even Art Uhlin or Scott Spears. And be careful. Please, please be careful. COVID infection is still very dangerous. The virus is everywhere. You just can't see it.
There are some things here that I think are important because it is the President of the United States. Now, in the USA Today today, there are a lot of people who are very upset about this comment that you just spoke about, to not be afraid of it. And they're calling the president reckless to a shocking degree. That's what the USA Today says. Is that right?
I was afraid you were going to ask me that question. And I'm taking a deep breath, and I'm going to tell you what I believe. Scott, I don't think it was it is reckless in a sense, but he couldn't keep himself from saying it. I believe the president is mentally ill.
Now, when you say mentally ill, what do you mean?
I refer specifically to the American Psychiatric Association's Diagnostic Statistical Manual, Edition 5, and I am referring to a diagnosis called Narcissistic Personality Disorder. And if you read that edition, I'll give you the definition. Narcissistic personality disorder is defined as comprising a pervasive pattern of grandiosity in fantasy or behavior, a constant need for admiration, and a lack of empathy, beginning by early adulthood and present in a variety of contexts, as indicated by the presence of at least 5 of the following 9 criteria. And if you are interested, I'll share those criteria with you.
Yeah, go right ahead.
Before I do, let me just say that I am not a psychiatrist. I am a long retired gynecologist. But obviously, I read widely. Okay, I read psychiatry books. And let me say that the American Psychiatric Association has said that one should never make a diagnosis without examining the patient. And I have been examining this man for 3 years, actually more than 3 years, 10 years. He was on television. So we have seen his behavior, not what he says he would do. We have seen what he actually would do, right? So, and everyone listening to this program has seen and heard what this man says and does. So let's read those criteria now. A grandiose sense of self-importance. Yes or no?
Yeah, but I would say yes.
I would say yes also. A preoccupation with fantasies of unlimited success, power, brilliance, beauty, or ideal love? Yes or no?
I would definitely say yes.
I would definitely say yes, too. A belief that he or she is special and unique and can only be understood by or should associate with other special or high-status people or institutions? Yes or no?
Yes.
I would agree with you. A need for excessive admiration? Yes or no?
Without question.
I agree. A sense of entitlement? Yes or no?
Yes.
I agree. Interpersonally exploitive behavior, yes or no?
Yes.
A lack of empathy, yes or no?
Yes.
Envy of others, or a belief that others are envious of him or her, yes or no?
I would think so.
A demonstration of arrogant and haughty behaviors or attitudes, yes or no?
Yes.
That's 9 out of 9, Scott.
Well, here's the thing, Dr. Euling, because, you know, this is important. We're in the middle of a pandemic, and there's been a long question throughout the presidency of President Trump that there might be some mental illness there, and some write it off as a joke, and some write it off as just his political opponents trying to get at him, and the people who don't like him trying to get at him. Prior to this, were you sure that this
was an issue with him, or did this typify it?
Well, I think you're asking a really important question, and it is a different form of the question that a friend of mine asked me, actually challenged me with last night when I rendered my opinion that the president is mentally ill, and she said, and she's a real fan of the president, she said, oh, but wait a minute, every successful business person has those criteria, sense of self-importance, you know, preoccupation with success, a belief they're special, blah, 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 sense of entitlement, went through the list, and I said, well, and yes and no. I mean, I don't think a lack of empathy is the way to get to the top of business. But here's the difference between having a personality trait, such as we have just described, and being sick, in my humble opinion. And the difference is that when a healthy narcissist like me, guilty. When a healthy narcissist like me sees his behavior getting him in trouble, he changes. Ooh, people don't like what I'm doing right now. Maybe I better stop it. Donald Trump can't. He cannot stop his behavior, even though in the last 2 weeks his behavior has probably cost him the election. He can't stop it. A healthy narcissist who believes he has the facts and can lead people would never in a million years say, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. How do you say that to the 210,000 people? Families who have lost a loved one? How do you say it to the 700 people who will die today and the 700 who will die tomorrow and the 700 who will keep dying day after day? This is, in non-medical terms, crazy. In medical terms, it is the behavior of a man who is mentally ill.
On this note, 1 hour ago, the president tweeted this, and this is just the tweet, 31.6 million followers. Here it is. Flu season is coming up. Many people every year, sometimes over 100,000, and despite the vaccine, die from the flu. Are we going to close down our country? No. We have learned to live with it, just like we are learning to live with COVID. In most populations, far less lethal! Exclamation point. That's an hour ago from the president.
That's another example of sick thinking. Yes, the flu is coming. And you know I am concerned about that, because COVID won't go away just because the flu is coming. We are going to have COVID and the flu, and 84-year-olds like me who get both at the same time will die. I mean, period, end of report. But one does not have to shut the country down to protect oneself against COVID. What do we have to do? We have to wear masks. The predictions from the University of Washington Health Center that it has just been so fantastically spot on with its predictions are that 300,000 people will die by the first of the year, total of 300,000, and that 65,000 of those deaths could be prevented with mask wearing, not shutting down the country, mask wearing. So how is it possible that this leader of ours, this president, can make the claim that he just did? Oh, don't worry, the flu is so much worse I won't shut the country down. Mr. President, I don't want you to shut the president down, but how about encouraging people to wear their masks? How about a national mask mandate? You can't drive on a federal highway without wearing a seatbelt. Why not put on a mask to protect me from dying because you're careless? This is, Scott, this is more evidence of disordered mentation. The man is not thinking clearly because he can't.
This is important because this has become a big talking point, or a big flashpoint, let's call it that, a big news point, as well as last night, these two things, and I'm going to group them together. There's the drive-by that happened on Sunday, Trump supporters outside of Walter Reed Hospital, and the president, he gets in the car, and he drives with people in the hermetically sealed car, so if there's a chemical attack, nothing will happen to the president, and waves at them. And then last night, as he returns home, when he gets to the White House steps, he turns around for reporters, and he takes off the mask. Is he contagious? I'm confused by those two things.
Well, according to all the science we know, he remains contagious. And yet this man, in a hermetically sealed car, exposed two Secret Service agents with families to his exhaled air. All right? If one of those dies, if one of those men dies, it is on this president. What kind of crazy behavior is that? And I would say, in non-medical terms, it is crazy. And in medical terms, it is a sign of mental illness. That was an absolutely bizarre, inappropriate act he did, jeopardizing people. And by the way, if we get back to the criteria I just read for mental illness, it's a need for admiration, a grandiose sense of self-importance. What kind of man would organize a parade of one car so that the world could watch him drive around Walter Reed, exposing two other human beings to a lethal virus, and then coming home and telling a country that has 210,000 people dead, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life.
This is maybe the biggest point here, because what's confusing to me is, okay, we have the parade in the SUV, and there were other people in there. He walked into the White House last night without a mask on. This is a man who is suffering with COVID. Now, this is a highly contagious illness. That's what we have been told. Is there any chance, being that close, that somebody doesn't get sick? Maybe even more in the White House because he walked in without a mask.
Well, is there a chance someone won't get sick? Yes, but I don't think, you know, maybe they're lucky. The point is, there is a significant chance that he will make someone sick. So I'm going to turn the question right back around on you and ask you, what kind of human being would do that? And I want you to know that the answer is not a bad person, not an evil person, not a disgusting human being. Someone who's mentally ill. That's sick thinking. And I feel sorry for the president. I have sympathy for the president. I'll tell you who I don't have sympathy for. I don't have sympathy for the doctors who are obfuscating the entire situation and covering up for him and going along with him instead of resigning. I feel angry at the senators who have enabled him. I am angry with the staff, the loyal staff. They're not loyal to us, Scott. They're not loyal to the American people. who know they are dealing with a man whose mental health is in serious question, and they're doing nothing. Well, they're willing to expose themselves again and again.
This brings up an interesting point. Now, we have seen the doctors, but the doctor we've heard the most from while during the president's stay in the hospital, I believe his name is Dr. Conley. And mm-hmm. and I saw one of the press conferences in which the reporters were just trying to get the question of, was he on oxygen at any point? And this doctor was very cagey about saying, not today, not yesterday, but he would not say not at all, and now we learn that he was on oxygen at some point. As a physician, even if it's the President of the United States, is that how you should be acting with the media? Is that the protocol?
Well, this is a really tough situation because his loyalty as a physician is to his patient, and he is allowed to reveal only as much as his patient will allow him to reveal. So, in a technical sense, I guess Dr. Conley works for us. He's in the Navy, but we pay for his salary. But he is the president's physician, and it is very clear that what we have seen with all of the doctors is a cover-up. You may tell this, and you may not tell that. We have seen a very dangerous cover-up. Here's the irony of this. The irony of this is that this behavior, directed by the president, starting with the debate, but really going way back, this bizarre, abnormal behavior will cost him the election. I know you're doing this, guess the outcome of the election. You can put my name in an envelope and say that I predicted Donald Trump will lose, not because he doesn't deserve to win, but because of this bizarre, inappropriate behavior during these past 2 weeks.
Here is something that's important. From what we know, 74-year-old man, overweight to some degree, clearly had more than mild symptoms. He did have oxygen, was administered that. He did have a cough. He was in the hospital for 3 days. He was administered these drugs. Now that we know all this, and I asked you this question on Friday when we had very little information, but we have more now, and he's out of the hospital. At this point, how sick was this man, and is he out of the woods at this point?
Well, I don't know, but I do know that his doctor, Dr. Conley, has said he is not out of the woods until he gets past that 7 to 10 day period when the immune system can go so crazy. It literally just goes wild and attacks the body instead of the virus. I think that the likelihood of his immune system going wild and out of control is very slim because they are suppressing its behavior with the dexamethasone. So I think he may get away with this, but I think it's really important for your listeners to know that we would not get away with it. We would die because we would not be given a chance receive the antiviral agent and the monoclonal antibodies or even the dexamethasone. And I would point out to you that the use of dexamethasone in the president's case violates the NIH guidelines for the treatment of this disease. It is not to be given except to exceptionally ill people who are in a hospital and on a ventilator. However, I do want to point out that it may be smart medicine. And if I were the president, I would want to be treated exactly the way he is. I can't get that treatment. Scott, you can't get that treatment. No one in our audience can get that treatment because it violates every single rule. But I personally would opt for the treatment he's getting. I just would can come home and say, don't be afraid of COVID. Don't let it dominate your life. And I need to beg your listeners, please, please, please wear your masks. It's not about you. Don't do it to protect yourself if you don't care about it, but do it to protect old guys like me.
You know, Dr. Yulin, we have about 10 minutes left here, and one thing I want to do is go over this disease again, because I think it's important to do that as often as possible, and I know you have some points that you want to bring up about this disease to further educate us, but there's one awful, awful, awful question that I have to ask, and it's been going around in the media, it's been going around on social media, and we're not going to know the answer to this, and maybe we never will know the answer to this. But it is an election year. We are 6.5 months into this election. We are less than 30 days, or 6.5 months into this pandemic. We are less than 30 days from the election. The way this has been handled over the weekend is interesting. The motorcade, the parade, the photo op last night, the tweets about COVID. As you have seen patients react, 210,000 people dead in this country from this, is it possible the president faked this? That it was a political October surprise? That COVID was his worst enemy at this point for getting reelected? And that this has all been political theater?
I don't believe that for a second, and that's just an opinion. I honestly don't know the answer to that question, but I don't believe it for a second. I do not think you would get doctors to go along with that. Can you get doctors to agree not to divulge facts that you do not want divulged? Yes, that's their ethical duty. That's actually their legal responsibility. Can you get doctors to fake a situation like this? Never. And particularly medical doctors. I don't know if you're aware, but I served 3 years in the U.S. Army, and I had the great good fortune to serve them at Walter Reed. I love the Army. I love the military. I respect these people. Military physicians were among the best I have ever met. And there is an integrity, there is an honor, there is an honesty among this group that is, as best I could see, universal. So no, I don't think you'd get a military doctor to go along faking it.
Why do you think that's become a thing? Because it certainly has become a thing. I even saw a post last night where it said a 74-year-old overweight man survives this and 210,000 people are dead. He was either faking it or something's wrong here.
Well, I think that was one of the points I wanted to make for your audience, which is that we are all different, and there is and we react in a phenomenally different way to this virus. We've never seen a virus quite like this. Why is it some children get COVID, thousands of children get COVID and aren't even symptomatic, and several hundred have died, and they die from a condition that involves that inflammatory response, the immune response, multi-system inflammatory disease? We are all different, and there is no way to predict how those differences will play out within our bodies. And I would also point out, he has had three treatments that you and I could not get. I suspect that I would have died in this situation because I couldn't get those treatments. And I don't begrudge the President of the United States those treatments. I am glad they gave him those treatments. But we can't get them. So that's one reason why he lived and others died.
Okay, now I want to get back to the illness here because I think that's important. Now, the points that you wanted to make for people, because it's still there, we still don't have a vaccine, what do people need to know about COVID-19 as we go further with this illness?
Well, we've covered a lot of these points, and I think the important thing that people need, there are two critical points that we have not made that I would like to make. We've made one of them. You really can reduce your chance of getting this disease, or if you get it, even if you're asymptomatic, of giving it to someone else, and that's to wear a mask. Wear a good mask. Wear it well. Wear it properly. Wear it all the time that you are exposed to anyone else. Do it because you have an obligation to others. And the other thing I would like to remind your listeners about is that COVID is an unequal opportunity to disease, and that the poor and the crowded and the obese and the elderly and those who have other illnesses are much, much more likely to die than you. So you can be as cavalier as you want if you're 20 or 30 years old and you're in the gym every day and feeling great and working out. But please understand that you are surrounded by people who are not in such condition and who desperately need your help to keep them safe.
You know, Dr. Uhlein, it's interesting because this whole conversation does kind of parallel the election that's coming up in less than 30 days. And what I have noticed, a lot of things here, for whatever reason, now maybe it was telling Dr. Conley not to give certain information out, maybe it was the motorcade on Sunday, maybe it was leaving the hospital and going home last night for the photo op to the White House. Some of these clearly are political moves with an election coming up. Now, all that being said, though, it seems here in Ohio, which has pretty well been leaning Trump since this election began, that all of a sudden people are starting to say, I don't like this. I don't like what he did here. I don't understand this move. Of all the things, the impeachment, the Russia scandal, the name-calling, all that, even the debate last week, which took place here in Ohio, why did this end up being a thing that really made people look at him funny? Not all people, but some people.
Well, there's an irony here, isn't there? Everything he's doing is backfiring, and he can't stop. And I think the reason the polls are turning on a dime so rapidly is because we are finally seeing the real man, a man who watches 210,000 people die and says, don't be afraid. A man who takes a five-minute parade of his own, putting two other human beings with families at risk so he can be on television. A man who postures on our White House, not his White House, that's my White House, taking off his mask in a act of belligerence to say, take that. I think we're finally seeing who the man is, and here's the tragedy, in my opinion, my humble opinion. No, it's not so humble. This is not an evil man. He's not a bad man. He's ambitious. He's brilliant. He's not well. These are the actions of a mentally unwell person. And I guess my last comment should be a quote that is attributed, I think incorrectly, to Albert Einstein. But the definition of insanity is repeating a mistake over and over again in the hope you'll get a different result next time. These bizarre behaviors, I think, will cost him the election.
I'm so glad you said that, and with a minute and a half left to go, and I'm not drawing, I want to say this, because I think this is very important, because everything is so name-calling now, and anytime you say anything about the president, people get very upset. I just want to say it this way, and let me say this before I make this statement. I'm not comparing President Trump at all to this person. I'm just making I just want to say it this way, that The worst man in the history of the world, I think by all accounts, was Adolf Hitler. But Adolf Hitler did not get up in the morning and look in the mirror and think he was evil. In this particular case with the president, are we saying he thinks this is right to do the motorcade, to take the mask off, that he's beat COVID, that it's not that bad, that he doesn't, he's not trying to mislead the American people. He just doesn't understand. Is that right?
He can't help it. That's my belief, yes. I do not think he deliberately wants to hurt someone, but the nature of the illness I have described for you leads to an abnormality of thought that would permit someone to hurt people in order to achieve those goals. I want to make it very clear. I feel sorry for this man, but I feel sorrier for the country. 200,000, 210,000 people are dead. 90,000 more will die in the next few months. We must stop this, and everyone listening to me right now can help by wearing a mask. Please wear your mask.
And I think we should say before we go that to the families of the over 210,000 people dead, my goodness, what sympathy to you. And we also do want to say the president is not out of the woods, and we want him to stay well and get well and be safe, and everybody else who is also inflicted with this horrible disease right now. Dr. Yulian, I feel this was a very, very important conversation. I'm so glad you got up early and we had it, because I think this one was maybe one of the more important ones that we've had.
Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Dr.
Good.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome.
Dr. Art Yulian, coming up today, we have Adam the Computer Guy at 2 p.m., Voice of the People with Linda Sims at 4, and the Pastor Spot at 5, and a whole lot of other stuff. Don't you dare go away. This is Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
WWDH Radio, 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. Streaming live on the internet at www.gh71.com.